We're doing a series on the Holy Spirit. You don't have notes. We don't even have slides today. You just got to listen. I know that's a novel approach, and if you're a guest today, normally we have a lot of those kind of things for you. It's interesting, as I'm reading different things in culture that are out there in the church world especially, that there are people that push this, press against that. Why do you do this? Shouldn't do that, and blah, blah, blah. You know, I discovered in life I need to do whatever I do and whatever fits me and however God wired me, because he made me this way. Amen. And so I'll do what I do, and hopefully it'll fit with you. And today, if you're a little more old school, you'll probably like it a little bit better, because we don't have all the notes and everything. I will use a few different versions of Scripture that just bring points home a little bit stronger, primarily the NIV. But I want to talk to you today about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's more than just an event. It's more than just a checkbox of life. It is an empowerment that God wants all of us to have on a regular basis. And I'll share some thoughts about it today. The number one thing the devil always tries to do is bring confusion and division among the people of God. Amen? And so we right now just speak against that. And we declare we are unified. Let me say that again. We declare we are unified, that Jesus Christ is bigger than any minor differences that we may have because of our limited, finite ability. And so we unite around the cross, and Jesus Christ is Lord of all. So a couple of weeks ago, we started the series talking about the Holy Spirit's role in your life. Looked at Romans 8, 1 through 9, and we looked at three things. You can go back and you can get the notes, or you can go back and watch the video. We talked about the Holy Spirit gives us freedom. There's no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. We talked about the Holy Spirit gives us peace of mind, that he helps us to have peace. The life that seeks after the Holy Spirit is a life marked by peace, and he also enhances our fellowship. You know, it's important in the body of Christ. Jesus said this: by this will all men know that you're my disciples. Because you give big offerings. Because you have great spiritual displays of supernatural empowerment. No. Jesus said, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, because you have love one to another. And the fellowship that we have is more than just a surface level fellowship, but we are part of the family of God. He is our Father, and the Holy Spirit enhances our fellowship. Last week we looked at the Holy Spirit's work with you. The first week was the Holy Spirit's role in your life, and then how the Holy Spirit works with you. And the Holy Spirit, John 14, verses 15 through 18, the Holy Spirit energizes you with power. Aren't you glad that you can have the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life? Amen? And the Holy Spirit also will enrich you with love. As Paul's talking about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14, he puts in the middle the instruction about gifts of the Spirit, a whole chapter on love. And I'm going to give you a paraphrase of that later on today that I hope that will register in your heart. And the third thing is the Holy Spirit enlightens you with perspective. Well, today I want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what it means to be baptized. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, as Jesus is preparing to ascend into heaven, it says, once when he, Jesus, was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized in water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is spoken of in the book of Acts, the history book of the church, five times. Speaking in tongues is referred to in the New Testament 22 times. Some people say, well, that's really not a big thing in the Bible, is it? Some people look at only what happened in Acts chapter 2 and said, well, that was just a supernatural gift where they spoke in languages that they had never studied that helped birth the church. That's true, what happened in Acts chapter 2, but the Bible speaks about this gift of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, and Acts chapter 19. Now, three of the five times it talks about they were baptized in the Spirit and they spoke with other tongues. Paul talks about, and the other two times it doesn't say that phrase, but it infers something happened that was visible and measurable, and would infer that that was what happened. Paul talks about it in his writings, that this is something that is good, it's something that's a gift from God, and it builds us up. He also tells us and lets us know that speaking in tongues can be speaking in an earthly language or in a heavenly language. Those are all possibilities as it relates to this. Now, I was sharing with someone earlier today, when it comes to the Holy Spirit as Pentecostals, which, by the way, you're in a Pentecostal church, if you didn't know that, you stumbled in here, but it's okay, we don't bite. Often in Pentecostal circles, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we make it about the gifting, and we make it about the speaking in tongues and that part of it, and we don't really maybe delve as deep, in my opinion, as we need to in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's why I took the first couple of weeks talking about that part of it, so you see that it's more than just something to say, I got it. First of all, there's no it, there's a him. And you don't get him, he gets you. To think that somehow we, you know, are the container is kind of silly. I'll give you an illustration on that in just a minute. But the Bible teaches that we should desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there are several proofs of that. In the Assemblies of God, we believe, we teach, we think it's according to Scripture, that the initial physical evidence is speaking in tongues. But that should not be something that we lord over others or that we use in a way to diminish anyone else. Jesus told the disciples in John that, or here in Acts chapter 1, that the Holy Spirit had promised this, that this was something that the Lord had told them would come, that they would have this encounter with the Holy Spirit, who will be in you, who will help you, who will guide you. He declares the deed of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, verse 15, when he declares that I will send another, an advocate, and he will guide you. The Holy Spirit is without question a part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is absolutely divine, along with the Father, along with the Son. A little bit hard for us to wrap our brain around. I got that. I acknowledge that up front. And by the way, if God is very simple for you to comprehend and easy to illustrate, he's a pretty small God. Some of the illustrations I'm going to give you today, I'm going to tell you up front, they're very limited in their capacity, and don't run too far with them. Just get the basic truth and don't try to stretch them out. By the way, when you read a parable in Scripture, there is a central truth that that parable relates to. Don't try to make too many different things out of the parable. Get the main nugget of what the thing's teaching and rejoice in that. As we look at the Word of God and the teaching of the Holy on the Holy Spirit from God's Word, we need to realize the value that comes from being baptized in the Spirit. Now, one of the things I will tell you is you will not find a place in Scripture. I told you I believe in speaking in tongues. I think it's possible for every believer to have that experience. I think it enhances your prayer life. I think it helps you to have power to witness. Should be doing all of these things for us. It's not just so I can say I have somehow brought that into my life and I have that box checked, as I mentioned a while ago, but it's more of this has changed my life and transformed me. When the Holy Spirit transforms you, it will result in a change of life. Nowhere in Scripture do we find an encouragement to go and wait until you speak in tongues. The encouragement is wait until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is one of the evidences of when that happens to let you know. Some will say, well, why is it important that we do that? Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about control. It's all about allowing God to control your life. So when the Holy Spirit controls your life, one of the places he wants to control is your mouth. The Bible says that one of the most difficult things for any person to control is their language. Anybody ever have to bite your tongue? Anybody ever bite a hole in your tongue while you're biting your tongue? You want to say something, you know you shouldn't, but you can't hardly contain it. The Bible says that's what the tongue is all about. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit evidences that we give him complete control because we even allow him to use our mouth to glorify God in a way that's in an unknown language most of the time. But not only that, when the Holy Spirit controls your life, he controls your wallet. If you are filled with the Spirit, one of the qualities that should be part of your life is a spirit of generosity, as we talked about already earlier today. Because you realize how much he's done for you, it's a joy now to be generous back. One of the ways that it affects your life is with kindness instead of with meanness. A couple of our former staff members happened to have some things on Facebook this week, which I rarely read. Janet told me about one of them. That's why I looked. But one of them said something like this. I'm paraphrasing my own words. But it says, it doesn't matter if you speak in tongues if you're mean in English. By the way, that's the paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13. What good is it if I can speak with tongues of men and angels, but I don't have love? In other words, I'm mean. Well, but I'm justifiably mean. It is righteous indignation. Well, it's not quite so righteous. It's a lot of indignation, so get over it and be kind. Kindness, by the way, according to Paul in Galatians chapter 5, is one aspect of the Spirit working in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Doesn't mean that you lack firmness. Doesn't mean you lack understanding. It means that you just always take a soft approach, even in the hard issues of life. I think I've told this story before. We had a man in the church in West Memphis, one of the most godly men I've ever known in my life. His name was Eugene Morgan. He was soft-spoken. He was kind. He was gentle. And one day there was, in West Memphis, where I lived before we moved here, Interstate 40 and Interstate 55 both go through that area right there. Now, here's what that means if you don't think about that. It means more transients come to that area of America than probably any other area in the nation. They're everywhere. I mean, they come and they're asking for help and they're doing things. And a guy came in and said he needed help. And I talked to him. He told me it was from a place in Florida. And he went to the Assembly of God Church down there. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I've got a directory. I'll call that church, and if they know you, I'm going to help you. If they don't know you, I'm going to tell you to leave. It's funny, even when guys are caught not telling the truth, how they'll stick to their guns. He's like, go ahead and call. And I called, and I said, do you know this guy? And they said, no, we don't. So they don't know who you are. I'm not going to help you because you've lied to me. He said, well, I've been gone 5 or 6 years. Ask her how long she's been there. I said, ma'am, how long have you been at the church, talking to the church secretary? She says, I've been here 22 years. I said, sir, she's been there 22 years. She says she knows almost everybody in the church. She's never heard of your name. She does all the records. She does the giving. She does the attendance. She's never heard your name. You maybe lived there and drove by the church, but you didn't go to that church. I said, you need to leave my office. You need to get out. I look up, and as he's leaving the office, and you'd have to understand a little bit, there's a big window right here by my office, but you have to go out the hallway and down the door to get out. As he leaves the office, I look up, and I see Brother Morgan coming inside. Now, I know what's going to happen. This panhandler guy, this deceitful, you know, transient guy is going to go out there and try to get money out of Brother Morgan. So, I'm flying over the desk to get out there. But unfortunately, because I'm going to, Brother Morgan, no, I know you're kind. I know you're generous, but this guy, he's lying. He's not telling the truth. Don't enable him. And so I'm wanting to stop him. But before I can even get out and around and whatever, Brother Morgan's walking in the door. And I said, Brother Morgan, did a guy catch you on the parking lot and ask you for money? He goes, and you would have to know Brother Morgan. He's gone to be with Jesus now. But just sweet, kind gentleman. He goes, oh, yes, Pastor. I saw him out there, and I'm going, oh, no. I said, did you give him money? He said, no. I could tell he was a con artist, and I just told him he needed to get off our property. I was like, thank you, Holy Spirit. That kindness doesn't override common sense. It doesn't mean that we walk around with everybody, give them everything they want, and we just let them walk all over us. But by the same token, meanness is not a fruit of the Spirit. And the more the Spirit fills us, the more it will affect everything about us. Seek to be filled with the Spirit every day. Say, well, I got filled back in 1996. I put gas in my car last week. Can I get a witness? But I got to fill it up again because the little red light came on and told me that if I drive 50 more miles, I'm going to be walking. Be filled with the Spirit. When Paul says that in Ephesians chapter 5, in the Greek language, it comes in a tense that says to us, to put it in the way we would understand it, keep on always being filled with the Spirit. It's kind of like, I don't know about you, I love water features. God directs everything when he helps us, but if we did a couple things at the church according to my own desires, maybe we'll have something in the foyer, I don't know, but I would have a water feature and a racquetball court. We don't have either because it's not the will of God, it's just the will of Bruce, and that doesn't count for a whole lot. Some of you get mad because you don't get what you want in church, and you think, well, I don't know which way. I don't get what I want either. It's okay. The Lord's good. Just be filled with the Spirit. That's all good. But I love water features where there's just this continual flow of water. Just continually flowing. That's the picture. Continue to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what I believe with all my heart. When you let the Holy Spirit fill you, I believe that at some point he's going to give you words to speak that aren't in your own natural language, that you're going to speak out in worship to God, and that'll be a part of the process. But more than seeking the experience as a standalone thing, keep on being filled with the Spirit of God. When we do that, he flows in our lives in a powerful way. He will bring transformation, will be kind, not mean, will be holy, not selfish. He will do different things in us that will help us to become more like Jesus. In the Bible, and I gave you the verses a while ago, but in Acts chapter 2, it talks about they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. In Acts chapter 8, we see Simon, he saw them laying hands on them and praying for them as they received the Holy Spirit. And he offered them money for something that he saw that was there. In Acts chapter 9, verse 17, he comes and he tells them that he's been sent, that they may be filled with the Holy Spirit. In chapter 10, verse 44 through 46, Peter is astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Acts 19, he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? And they said, we haven't even heard there's a Spirit, a Holy Spirit. And Paul laid his hands on them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. It's a very common occurrence in the book of Acts. It is supernatural. And from the natural perspective, the Bible says the natural man cannot even comprehend these things, cannot understand the Holy Spirit. But the spiritual man gains understanding of what it's all about, and we yield more completely to him. The problem is that a lot of people don't want the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they don't want to give up full control of their life to God. I came across something a while back that speaks to this, of the attitude that we have. If I can find where I put it, here we go. Written by a guy named Wilbur Reese, and he said this. It's a little bit of sarcastic writing, I guess, but unfortunately a little too real for many people. He says this: I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love a man of a different color than me or to go work beside a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Now, the reality is we need more than $3 worth of God. We need God to saturate us. So this whole thing about being baptized in the Spirit, I've used this illustration before. I'm going to share with you today. What is it? What the Holy Spirit's work in the believer? Well, the Bible says that we are all vessels. So I'm using the cup to illustrate that. This is a visual illustration for you here today. The Bible says we are all vessels, and that we have the ability to have something in us. I've said this before, and some people laugh because it sounds like they go somewhere with it, and part of it, we're all full of something. We're containers, and you're full of something. You can be full of meanness or kindness. You can be full of goodness or evil. We're all full of something. You can be full of the devil, or you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. When a person gets saved, it's important you understand this. And a lot of scriptures that will validate this reality, the truth of this. You receive the Holy Spirit. Water represents the Holy Spirit many times in the Bible. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit is in you. He will change you. He will transform you. Just getting saved brings transformation. But now, the Bible talks about other aspects of the Holy Spirit that go beyond These are biblical terms that go beyond having the Spirit in you to being filled with the Spirit. So now here's the cup, and it is absolutely full. I don't know if I can get much more in there or not. I don't know if you can see it or on the screens or not, but that's full to the top. I don't even want to pick it up because I'll probably spill it. You can be filled with the Spirit. Then you can be filled to overflowing. That's why I have this tray here, because I'm going to overflow it. It's bad when your waiter or waitress does this at work. But look, now the water's going in, and now it's flowing over the cup, and it's splashing out everything around it. How many of you know that all of us need to be filled to overflowing, where it's not only something that's kind of a little bit in us, but it's touching everything around us and everybody around us? But now the word baptize, I really need this tray now. Because right now, this is still the container, right? This is the container. So in this state right here, even when it's overflowing us, we're still saying, I'm in control. When we get baptized in the Spirit, this is going to be bad. It'll make the illustration real for you. Now we go there, get all the way down, get fully baptized. We don't sprinkle, we baptize. We're going to do that in November, by the way. Now, the cup is no longer the container. Now the cup is contained by the greater element. When we as believers get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are saying, take complete control of my life. I don't want a little bit of you that I control. I don't want to know where the switch is to turn you on and turn you off. I want to be so saturated by you that I am truly baptized in the Spirit of God, so that it changes everything about me, so that it puts me at a new place, a new level. Now, when we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need to recognize that God wants us to experience this. It is the promise of the Father. It's the command of Scripture. And what I would encourage you to do is ask in your prayer continually every day, Holy Spirit, baptize me. Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. That's the process. Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. The unity of the Trinity is exceptional. I don't know any other way to say it. The Holy Spirit actually baptizes us into Jesus, and Jesus baptizes us into the Holy Spirit. And the Father's probably just applauding wildly the whole time. It is a good thing when, as followers of Jesus Christ, we yield to Him in such a way that He saturates us to the point that we become consumed in Him, and He becomes the source of life. See, as long as I'm the container, I'm still a little bit in control. I know a lot of people like this. They're afraid of the Holy Spirit because He's going to take control of my life. He absolutely isn't. It's the best thing that can happen to you, because He will lead you in a path that is right, that is good. As we're seeking this gift of the Holy Spirit, let me give you a few points of practical reminders. Pastor Russell, if you'll come and prepare to lead us in worship as we continue to pray today. As we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, let me give you a few practical things. First thing is this: create an atmosphere of expectation by praising the Lord and expressing love to Him audibly. Just saying, Lord Jesus, I love You. Begin to express your love to Him, and the Holy Spirit magnifies Jesus. And when you start praising Jesus, the Holy Spirit's going to show up. He wants to be a part of that experience. When you begin to pray, say, Holy Spirit, come into my life and overwhelm me with Your presence. Take control of everything about me. Control my actions. Control my thoughts. And some people are very scared of that. They're like, well, I want to stay in control. We call people like that control freaks. I'm kind of one of them. But we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is good beyond anything we can even express. And we can trust Him with everything. He will never harm us or hurt us. He will only, as we've talked about the last few weeks, He will enrich us. He will empower us. He will help us. I don't know if this will make sense or not. I'm just speaking from my heart. I hope it makes sense to you. The main thing I've seen as a problem, like in church my life growing up, is that we make it such a bar to cross, a measurement to get to, that we see it as a pass-fail. Can I help you understand today? There's no pass-fail in this process. It's just let the Holy Spirit fill your life more every day. Don't, again, the devil's so evil, he's trying to make everything bad that's good. We're going to tear down all of those exterior measurements and expectations, and we're simply going to say, Holy Spirit, come and baptize me. Take control of my life. Touch me in ways that are humanly impossible, where my life is transformed. And you think about a lot of the trouble in the world today. A lot of it comes, even in the church world in general, comes because people are not filled with the Spirit. Say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because their actions clearly show that they're being led by something other than the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit. Be baptized in the Spirit. It's what Jesus told the original disciples to do and those who are gathered there with them. How many of you think if they need it, we need it? How many of you think if he said it to them, he'll say it to us? Be filled with the Spirit of God. Here's what I want you to do all across this room. Maybe there are different places we're at in life. Maybe some of you are baptized in the Spirit right now. You're walking in that fullness. Maybe some of you are just kind of starting the journey. Maybe some of you have never really thought much about it. In a minute, I'm going to ask our prayer team, our pastors and deacons to come and stand here in the front. Spouses are coming with them and stand here in the front. And if you want someone to pray with you, I invite you to come and let someone join you in prayer. God is so unique. He can do it 50 different ways for 50 different people. There's not a formula, but there's simply moving to a place of saying, God, baptize me in your Holy Spirit so that it's no longer me, but it's you living through me. Saturate me with your presence. Baptize me in your Spirit. As we pray that prayer, Jesus gave us this word of understanding. He says, how many of you earthly fathers, if your son asks you for a piece of bread, you're going to give him a snake? Or if they ask you for a piece of fish to eat, you'll give him a scorpion? Because you would never do that. And you're evil. You're not that evil, though. You wouldn't do that. And he goes on to say, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, check this out now, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to all who ask of Him? You know, there's a lot of things we can do in our community. We want to be a light in our community, amen? Let me say that again, because that should have been 100%. We want to be a light in our community, in your neighborhood, at your workplace. Your light needs to be shining. Can I tell you that your light shines a lot brighter when the Holy Spirit controls your life? All across this room, I don't mean to put pressure on you. I hope it's a deep desire of your heart. But if you would say this morning, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit so that it changes everything about my life. I want the Holy Spirit to saturate me. I don't want to just have the Holy Spirit in me, but I want to be in the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized in the Spirit of God on a regular, but continually. That's what I want for my life. I'm already standing on this stage, and I pray that you'll join me and say, that's what I want in my life. I want to be baptized in the Spirit of God. Staff, would you come and be here in the front? If someone wants prayer today, we want to give them that opportunity. Not only if you need prayer for this, but prayer for anything. If you need salvation, if you need healing, but primarily today specifically, if you want the Holy Spirit to baptize you, I invite you to come and let someone join you in prayer. Jesus, we love you today. We thank you that you are the provider. We thank you, Father, for your love and for your promise. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would saturate our lives, that we would show your character and your nature. May the baptism of the Spirit cause us to be kind and good and loving and truthful. May it affect everything about us. May we not be selfish, but rather may we walk in holiness. Holy Spirit, I thank you that when you fill our lives, that it creates within us an atmosphere of holiness, where following the commands of God become a joy, not a hardship. Give us understanding. Give us enlightenment. Holy Spirit, baptize us, I pray. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life. I make room for you, not only to be in me, but to control me. Guide me, Holy Spirit.